Yes. Okay. So welcome, everybody. My name is Dr. Rita Marie Loscalzo, and I'm excited to be here tonight with a very special guest, Victoria Butenko. And many of us here on the call tonight have been spending the past week doing green smoothies, either exclusively or primarily as our food intake, as part of a green cleanse that we've been doing. And it's been really exciting, and we're really excited to have Victoria on the line to give us some insights from her research on green smoothies. So what I'd like to do, I've got a list of questions. Thank you, everybody, for submitting some wonderful questions.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going to go ahead and talk to Victoria, and I'm going to ask Victoria to introduce herself. Most of you already know Victoria's story, but many of you may not, and I'd love to hear it again. I always love to hear the story of how your family got started and all the other stuff. So I'm going to go ahead and introduce her. Victoria Butenko is the award-winning author of several books. Green for Life is the one that many of us are most familiar with. One of my favorites is The 12 Steps to Raw Food, and she's produced DVDs and is in the middle of producing another book. Is that right, Victoria?
Yes, I am working on a new book. It's called The Green Smoothie Revolution, and it's the book about deficiencies and how to nourish the body. It's a very, very exciting book, and I think that's going to be my best book ever.
Wonderful.
So far.
So, got a good track record, so you must be working really hard to try to beat that.
Yeah, I'm
so
working
why don't
about
you go ahead
19
and tell
hours
us a
every
bit
day.
Of, what's that?
I'm working about 19 hours every day on it right now.
19 hours a day.
Yeah.
Wow. And you're powering yourself on green smoothies?
Actually, right now I'm fasting, but yes, green smoothies.
Fasting. Wonderful. Wonderful. That's where you get all that energy from. So go ahead and tell us a little bit about your yourself and your family's journey. And we'd love to hear it.
Yeah. About 15 years ago, my family became ill. My two younger children and my husband and myself became very sick. And the doctors told us that we will die soon from different illnesses. I had arrhythmia, which is irregular heartbeat, the disease that took my father's life. And also I was morbidly obese. And my husband had rheumatoid arthritis and hyperthyroidism. And my daughter had asthma, and my son had diabetes. And when the doctors told us that really our conditions are irreversible, we started to look for alternatives. And after about 2 months of real search, I found a lady who was a raw foodist. I believe she was the only raw foodist at that time in Colorado. And then I started researching about raw foods, and eventually I saw that this is very promising, and I started to dream about this, and several months later, our family became a raw family. It was January 21st, 1994, our raw family birthday. And when we went on raw food diet, we reversed all of our illnesses and felt great for several years. And then after 7 years, we reached the plateau when our health started to reverse. It was not as perfect. And it included some problems with teeth, actually severe problems with teeth, and our nails were brittle, and our hair were falling, and we had annoying appetite, especially in the evening. Every one of us developed at least one wart, which is a symptom of low immunity, weak immunity. And then we also felt tired. And so it was not satisfactory anymore. And I started to make research, and I found out that we did not consume greens. I studied chimpanzees, and I found out that chimpanzees are 99.4% similar to humans. In terms of genes, we share the same genes with them. And the chimpanzees consume about 40% of the diet are green leaves, and humans consume only like 2% of the diet are greens or less. And yes, in my family, we did not consume enough greens simply because we didn't like them. Personally, I felt nauseous after eating more than 2 leaves of greens or drinking wheatgrass juice or any green juice. I was not attracted to that. And then I started to make more research, and I became very excited about how nutritious greens are. I never knew how it all works. And let me explain briefly here that the green leaves is the only living thing that could transform sunshine into energy that we can consume, we or any animals or any creatures on earth. So the chlorophyll actually is nothing but liquefied sunshine. The chlorophyll also is the basis for any molecule of sugar, of any sugar. There is no carbohydrate known to us that did not come from originally from chlorophyll, from a molecule of chlorophyll. So then the plant feeds, sends this sugar, half of it or so goes to the fruit, and half of it or so goes to the root. Well, we all understand why fruit is sweet, is to bribe us, to make creatures on planet Earth to be attracted to fruit, so we help plant to spread the seeds, to propagate. Then I didn't understand why the roots are supposed to be sweet. And actually, all the roots have a lot of sugar. That's actually where we make refined sugar from, like beets and carrots and yams. All of them are potatoes. All of them are full of sugar. So why the roots are sweet is to feed the microorganisms in the soil. The science today knows of 2,500 different microorganisms that live in organic soil, and these microorganisms make available all the minerals, all the nutrients that we need to be completely healthy, including essential minerals like calcium, potassium, iron, copper, zinc, and all of them. And then the plants, while drinking water from the ground, from the soil, they sack those nutrients from the soil inside of the plant, and the plant actually stores these nutrients in the leaves. They use leaves, green leaves, as a storage for nutrition. And that is why, if you followed me, you will understand that the green leaves is the prime source of nutrition and nourishment on planet Earth. Everything else comes from there. The green leaves have most of nutrition before blooming and before the seed is formed, because then most of nutrition is transferred into the seed, because seed is the baby of the plant, and seed is supposed to be very, very nutritious because it has to survive sometimes for months or years, and then the seed has to give life to the sprout, to the plant, and sometimes that sprout has to go through rocks, through soil, through asphalt. So it has to be very strong and survive the drought, the cold temperatures. So the seed is supposed to be very, very well nourished. So after the seed is gone, then the greens stop being nutritious. They become brown or yellow and harsh and bitter and not nutritious. That is why we consume only green leaves before blooming. However, because we stopped consuming green leaves about 180 years ago, our bodies became depleted, especially in zinc, and we lost the ability to digest them properly, and that's how we also lost our attraction to greens. Most people don't like greens. Most people don't feel greens are attractive or palatable, and many people will even say that they are gross and they don't care for the green salad or green drink, and you even have to hide the green color in a non-clear cup because you don't want your children to say, oh, that doesn't look attractive, okay? And so while I was looking for the way to consume greens, it's a long story, it's like a two-hour lecture, but I want to say that I developed the green smoothie as an aid to my family, first of all, and then for the rest of the people, how to consume greens in a palatable way. Mm-hmm. I consider that green smoothies is the most palatable way of consuming large quantities of greens, easy way of consuming large quantities of greens and nourish your body with all the nutrients that were formed in a process of growing of the plant.
Well,
You've gotten so much information, Victoria. Every time I hear you speak, you add more and more, and it gets deeper and deeper. You paint such a wonderful picture.
Isn't it exciting?
Yes, it is. It is. The whole thing about the zinc deficiencies in the soil and losing the ability to digest them. So that's why you were not fond of them. That's why you had a hard time eating them.
Yes, but since I started drinking green smoothies, the deficiencies, many of them, reversed. And not only I can digest greens now, but I'm very attracted to them. Very often when I look at greens, I salivate, which I could never even imagine that it could be possible. I would salivate looking at chocolate rather than or something else, but not greens.
Right.
And many people probably listen to me and don't believe that it's possible.
I believe you. I was sharing with some of the people on the cleanse that last week when I went shopping at Whole Foods and I was filling up my cart with all these greens and fruits in preparation for the cleanse, I just noticed that I was just munching on dandelion leaves as I walked through the store. And
yes.
I was loving it. I wasn't even noticing it. It was bitter.
That's my favorite. Dandelion is my favorite.
Yeah, it's a great one. So that was one of somebody's questions. What is your favorite green? Well, that one is a great one. Do you think that that's the highest nutritional value, or which one would you think would be a highest nutritional
value? I believe that we need to rotate. This is very important because the nature is very wise, and nature has reason for everything. For example, nature doesn't mind, like tree doesn't mind if we eat all cherries off it. Or apple tree doesn't care if you eat all the apples. It will actually be very happy. And so that's why fruits don't have any poison in them, don't have any alkaloid, because the tree doesn't want us to stop eating them when they're ripe, of course. When they're not ripe,
right. They
will be so unpleasant and so unattractive, we won't even think about eating them because the seeds are not ready to be propagated.
Mm.
But the greens, if we take all the greens off the plant is going to die. And so nature placed a little bit of poison, a little bit of alkaloids in every single green on the planet. But the nature placed different variety of alkaloids in all the greens to force us to rotate the greens. That is how all the deer and all the goats and all the animals, they will nibble off one plant and then move to another. You can never observe in nature that deer would come and eat the entire lilac tree. They'll eat like dozen of leaves of it and then move to next plant. And that's what we have to do. And we have to rotate. And even though I love dandelions, today it is my most favorite one, I still rotate. I don't allow myself to drink dandelion smoothie more than once a week.
Wow. So once a week. So that's an exclusively dandelion smoothie? Or would you put little bits of dandelion in other smoothies throughout the week?
It doesn't matter. I could put anything with it. For example, if I don't have enough dandelions or if I have different flavor, I could put variety of greens in a drink.
Right. So are you recommending that we don't eat the same green more than once a week or that we don't eat large quantities of
it? I would say that at least once a week. I say that you rotate as much as you can, as many variety as you can. For example, I know today of 100, more than 100 different greens that are available to most people. And I list them in my new book, The Green Smoothie Revolution. I list them in the Green for Life. I list 53 different greens. And I will just tell you that Native Americans used 1,643 different plants, most of them had edible greens.
Wow.
So we just have to relearn. Once we knew all of that, we forgot, and with all this industrial revolution, we forgot how to properly eat, and we have to reintroduce this valuable, nutritious food to us back.
Yes. So over 100 varieties are not found in the supermarkets. Are you recommending we go out and forage for them? And
at least, that's why I say at least once a week, and not less than 7 different greens. This is like a minimum. Otherwise, you will begin to experience different symptoms. Like one lady asked the question that how come she feels cold after drinking smoothie. She probably is drinking the smoothie made with kale. And this particular green, kale, has alkaloids that suppress thyroid. And if you will be using only kale, eventually you will begin to feel cold. So you should not take kale for about a month. and use, say, chard and spinach and parsley and the variety of greens that are available in your store just for a while, and then you can come back to kale.
So if we're rotating about seven different greens on a weekly basis, do you think it would be a problem to use like small amounts of seven different greens in one smoothie and drink that?
No, that's not a problem. You can do it this way. No problem.
Okay.
It could
as long
be
as
easier.
You're not doing
it could
like
be this. Easier though to do one in a day because you'll get tired of the same taste.
Got it. That makes sense. That makes a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. And also you can use carrot tops and beet tops and radish tops and mustard tops just as one of the options.
So all the things that they typically take off and throw away and then sell you the roots.
And then you boil these roots, right?
Yeah. Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I have the comparison tables in the Green for Life book that shows how much more nutrition is in the green part of the carrot or beets or parsley than in the roots. Roots mostly have more sugar. Everything else, they have very little.
So, yeah, I've heard you say in your DVD you should throw away the carrots and eat the tops.
Well, it's a little bit extreme. It's okay. You can eat carrot, the most important part is greens. Or you can feed carrot to your, whatever, animal.
Yeah, yeah. Super. So we had a couple of other questions that came up specifically about this cleanse we did, which people were drinking almost exclusively green smoothies, and some people exclusively green smoothies, and when they weren't eating green smoothies, they would munch on a piece of fruit or munch on greens.
Uh-huh.
But some issues came up about people being underweight. How do we cleanse and not lose weight? Do you have any suggestions on that?
Well, I have discovered that people who typically have thin constitution, a skinny constitution, they usually have very low hydrochloric acid in the stomach. And that is the condition that is necessary in order to absorb nutrition. So people who don't have enough hydrochloric acid or have zero hydrochloric acid, they don't absorb. They almost absorb zero. So they, no matter what they eat, they keep kind of skinny figure. And actually, green smoothies help to put the weight on because they reverse the condition in the stomach. Last year, I met a man who was wasting away. The doctors gave him 6 days to live. He was 66 years old, 6 feet tall, and he weighed 90 pounds.
Oh.
And he came to my lecture. He was brought to my lecture in a wheelchair. And after he listened, he started drinking half a gallon of smoothies every day, and he gained 20 pounds in 2 weeks.
Wow.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Wow.
Very often this is the result of deficiency, and specifically deficiency of zinc. If we don't have enough zinc, like 91% of people, according to my resources, 91% of Americans are deficient in zinc. And when we're deficient in zinc, our body cannot produce enough hydrochloric acid. And then if we don't have hydrochloric acid in our body, we cannot absorb anything. Food just goes through us, wasting our energy and not giving us anything.
Wow. So that explains that the deficiencies, correcting the deficiencies, helps explain why after
yes.
a month of green smoothies, people would be starting to produce hydrochloric acid.
Yes.
Because you're replenishing all those deficiencies.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. So how often do you
It's wonderful that people are drinking green smoothies. I believe that it's complete food. You could live on green smoothies, but of course there is no reason to take away the pleasure of eating a fresh organic fruit or some nice organic nuts or something else. But smoothies have all the nutrition that we need.
Great. That was a question that did came up, and how long do you think people could comfortably stay on a green smoothie diet? So you're saying indefinitely.
Yeah, I don't know yet. It's something new. But one woman, her name is Valerie Winters.
Mm-hmm.
She lives in Washington State. She sent me her email. She sends me emails. She stayed on green smoothies alone for 6 months just because she wanted to know if she could. And she says that she never felt better.
Mm-hmm.
She stopped doing this in August because she wanted to enjoy the fruit during the harvest season. But you can look at her up on Google. Her name is Valerie Winters.
Yeah.
She has a big blog with all the pictures and a wonderful story.
Yes, I did see that the other day as I was getting ready for the cleanse, and it was a very empowering story, and I shared that information.
And I think as we go, we will find more and more people doing that.
Yeah. Well, she lost 125 pounds during that, I understand.
Yeah, but she was like 500 or what, 400.
Yeah.
I don't remember how old.
She
was really obese, and nothing helped her before.
Yeah. Well, that's
she says her cravings diminished.
So how much green smoothie do you drink every day, Victoria?
At least a quart. I drink at least a quart, sometimes 2 quarts, but I don't miss any days, except when I'm fasting.
Okay.
And I do either green smoothie or green pudding or green soup.
Great. What's your favorite? Favorite
it depends.
Smoothie? What's that?
It depends. I always do the favorite, what is favorite at this moment. Like, sometimes I like the pudding, sometimes I get tired, I like just the smoothie, sometimes I get tired of the too sweet flavor, then I want to just have something more green.
Mm-hmm. A variety. Wow. So, one of the questions came up, what quantity of greens do you eat daily, and what have been some of the noticeable differences since you started?
There is a big difference between how much you should eat if you smoothie them, if you blend them, or if you eat them just in a salad. If you consume greens whole, like, or especially in a salad, then you have to eat a lot more greens because not all of them will be absorbed. Not all the nutrition will be absorbed. Not all the nutrients will be absorbed because the body cannot absorb from something that's not liquefied, not chewed to creamy consistency.
Yeah.
But when it's blended, especially in a very high-speed blenders like KTAC or Vitamix, then you can consume less greens. In the beginning, I calculated that you need to have 2 bunches of greens per day, and that equals to almost 2 gallons of green smoothie a day. And I thought that that's what you're supposed to take, but then I understood that you don't have to drink 2 gallons. It's too much. If it's blended in a high-speed blender, it could be 1 or 2 quarts.
Okay. And that's
because 100% of it gets absorbed. Of course, you have to drink it slowly. You kind of just gulp it.
Oh, could you address that a little bit more? Because I'm guilty of drinking them too fast. So I'd like to hear more about that.
Well, many people, if they drink them too fast, they will develop gas and bloating and indigestion even. We need to drink them slowly because when we drink them slowly, some of them will begin to absorb right in our mouth, right under the tongue. We kind of, as if we are eating them, we should pretend that we are eating them, so just chewing them. I bought several coffee mugs with them, you know, good plastic, non-toxic plastic, and then I fill them with smoothie, and I put them next to my computer where I'm working on my book, and I sip, takes me like an hour to sip through one mug.
And that's a 30. That's a 16-ounce mug or a 32-ounce mug?
Yeah, 30.
32. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay. So good. And that's good to know. That's something.
Yeah, and I also always make sure that my smoothie is very delicious. I use the best organic food ingredients that I could get. I don't ever save money on my food. I would rather have 1 pair of shoes, or less dresses, or old furniture, but I don't want to save money on my food. We're talking here about nourishing the body. We're deficient. I'm deficient. Everybody's deficient. We're living in a time of deficiency, and it's another story, but I want my smoothie to be delicious, and my smoothies are always like a piece of art. They look good. They're smooth. They don't have no froth, and I kind of perfected on making smoothies really yummy. Everybody likes them.
Yes.
If your smoothie is not delicious yet, then you have to practice more or change the blender.
Change the blender is probably a big one for a lot of people.
Yeah.
So when you say you perfected the art of making the smoothies, is there some specific technique that you could share with us, or is it just a matter of the way that you combine the ingredients?
It has to be thoroughly blended. It has to be like a sour cream in consistency, like whipped cream. It doesn't have to look like pieces of green grass, situated in the water.
It
and
look like
in the beginning, blood. Usually I recommend that you put enough fruit to make it tasty, up to 60% of fruit and 40% greens. And then you will notice that as you're drinking them daily, you want less and less sweetness in it, and you will notice that eventually you will drink something like 40% fruit and 60% greens, or even 80% greens and 20% fruit. Because in the beginning you just put fruit to make it palatable, but then as your digestive system restores, recovers from its, you know, whatever deficiencies, you would crave greens. You would actually want the green taste. And sometimes when I drink my smoothie, other people say that it smells like a wheatgrass. I don't notice that, but they say, and if they try my smoothie, I met a friend recently who I introduced to green smoothie, and she, when she tried my dandelion smoothie, she said, oh, this is so bitter, how can you drink it? And she even had some kind of a, she was nauseous after that. And stomach cramps even. And I was, I was very careful. But then 1 month later, I made her the same smoothie. She liked it, had no effect, and she didn't say it was bitter.
Yeah.
So we all progress towards nourishing the body, and we enjoy more greens. And then in a different time of the day, I like a piece of fruit.
To just eat the piece of fruit.
Yeah. And there are some things that are my favorite with the smoothie, like, for example, pineapple or mango. And right now is a season for mangoes. Like 2 months ago, there was no good mangoes, so I was using exclusively pears. Pears is another favorite. And if there is a froth, then you just put a cube of ice, and there will be no froth.
Good suggestion.
Like, for example, if somebody makes a smoothie with apples, they tend to create a froth, like a foam on top, then the ice would dilute it. And bananas are very good, too.
Bananas give it that creamy.
Yeah, and of course, in the summertime, I try to use as many wild edibles as possible. And if you're picking up wild edibles in the forest, then you have to be careful not to pick up anything poisonous. You have to really study. There are not a lot of poisonous plants. There are 23 very poisonous plants in the United States, 150 mildly poisonous, but 23 really poisonous, like hemlock or foxglove, then you have to know what it is. But it's really easy to find out how dandelion looks like or how purslane looks like, and it's pretty distinctive. So the wild edibles in the forest, they're like not really abundant, like minus lettuce, you pick up like handful at a time because there's not that much. But when I go to organic farmers, I buy boxes of weeds from them in the summer. This is wonderful. My favorite probably is chickweed with the tiny white flowers, and it's so rich in nutrients. It's so abundant in the springtime, and the farmers just throw it away. They just, you know, kill it. They throw it in the black plastic bags. They just try to fight it so it doesn't spread the roots and grows back. And then stinging nettles is wonderful, and red clover, purslane. What else? Well, I have them all listed.
Yeah.
And wild edibles are much, much more nutritious because you've heard of our soils being depleted. So the wild edibles, they have more nutrition because their roots are very, very long. If, for example, if you ever had a garden or if you worked in somebody's garden, you notice that if you try to pull, to just, let's say, take one leaf off the romaine lettuce, the entire plant could come off because the roots of romaine lettuce, cultivated romaine lettuce, is like 1 inch long or 2 inch long. They're really not big. But have you ever tried to pull the dandelion with roots? It's impossible. Their roots could be 20, 30 feet long, and they reach to the most nutritious layers of the ground, of the soil, where there is still a lot of nutrients.
Mm.
And that's what we want. We need, we're going for nutrition.
Well, isn't it fascinating that we eat the foods that are harder to grow and less nutrition, and we throw in the weed pile the foods that are easier to grow and better nutrition?
Yeah, this is very, very strange.
That happened.
Yes, this is very strange. Since we found out this thing about the facts about greens, we stopped growing cultivated greens. They just really waste of the space in the garden. We now have a very neat garden with the rows of wild edibles in there and weeds. We grow weeds in our garden, and I come every morning and harvest baskets and boxes of it every day. and I have a variety of those. And then I put them in my blender, and I don't even ever go to the store to buy greens in the summer. It's only in the wintertime when I buy greens in the store.
That's wonderful. So even so, doing this not only is healthier for you, it can be more economical.
Oh, absolutely, yes. It's actually free.
Free, yeah.
In many cases.
You don't even have to pay for the seeds.
Yes, you can even go to the farmer's market and ask farmers to give you the carrot tops, and they will be happy to give them to you for free.
Great.
Yeah, once I was teaching a class in Ashland, and I told them how, I shared how I go to farmer's market. And we have a small town, and every Tuesday we have a farmer's market. And then next Tuesday I came, there was no carrot tops. And next Tuesday I came, they were selling them for $1 a bunch.
They got
it
smart.
Became in demand.
Yes, you created a demand.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, so Victoria, since a lot of us this week have been just drinking smoothies, a lot of questions come up about, well, what's next? How do I transition back to food? And what kind of food should I be eating? Would you like to address that for us?
Oh, you know what? You just progressed to your favorite diet, to the diet you believe is the healthiest for you, and it really is not a big thing because the greens, green smoothie have fiber in it, and so you don't have any particular, I don't know of any particular restrictions in going back to eating.
Okay,
well,
so
I wouldn't eat, start eating cooked meat right away. Just maybe salads first. If you eat oil, salads with oil, and then if you eat cooked vegetables, then that, and then the next would be the cooked protein, cooked animal food.
So that's a good question, bringing that up. Do you recommend or advocate that people eat cooked animal food or cooked food in general?
I don't recommend cooked food in general at all. I recommend, I believe that 100% raw is the optimal diet for humans with emphasis on greens.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know. I don't know about the vegan or not vegan. I think that it became such a sensitive topic that we almost have to right now the freedom of religious choice and the food choice, because I see that sometimes I feel like I'm afraid to say what I think because I will be just then followed up by some people being angry that I do love animals, and I don't know. I don't eat animal food, but I don't know because I do lots of anthropological research, and I see that there are most of the tribes in history, they consumed at least insects.
Mm.
And in my book, 12 Steps to Raw Food, I have a chapter that I call What About Insects? This is maybe not a good time right now to talk about this, but I don't know. Maybe humans supposed to eat something like 2% of the diet from animal source could be, I don't know what it is.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what it is. I really don't know. But I want to stay open to that. I don't want to be, idealistic.
Well, Victoria, if insects are eaten by a lot of places, then if you're doing wild foods and you're not going out there and scrubbing them under the faucet because of the pesticides that might have been on them or just in general
right.
who was handling
right.
it, then you'd be getting some insects
yeah, I
right
hope
there.
So. Yeah, I hope so. I hope that that's where I get my small amount of animal food from. Actually, I did research. I bought a big, this is about B12 issue. I've noticed that some of people who eat raw food have B12 problems and some don't. And my family, we don't have problem. And after questioning and questioning and questioning all of these people from both groups, I found out that those people who really clean everything thoroughly and even soak their greens in or their vegetables and fruits in the chlorinated water and eat non-organic, they usually have B12 problem. And those people who eat predominantly organic and don't really clean much their food, they don't have problem with B12. And that gave me an idea about this tiny insects that we don't see, that invisible by human eye. So I bought a magnifying glass at Staples and went to a farmer's market and scared our farmers to death when I started to look at kale and chard through the magnifying glass because they didn't have any idea what I'm looking at.
Yeah.
And I did see those tiny green insects covering those greens, which was just, it's normal. It's normal. It's there. And as soon as I take magnifying glass off, I couldn't see anything. So I understand that when we eat greens and we don't wash them, we do consume a small amount, I don't know how big, amount of insects, which I think is okay. It's absolutely non-toxic or anything. And that's the source of B12, and according to Dr. Mercola. And I don't just want to make a big thing out of it because I feel repulsive. I don't feel like, you know, attracted to that. But I understand that that's what's happening.
Okay, so we shouldn't be so focused on washing our greens and that whole, you know, get the sprays and all that. We should just be
what
the animals do.
Yes. If we nourish our body, then we have stronger immune system. If we have plenty of vitamin A, plenty of vitamin C, plenty of sunshine, then we have strong immunity. And when we have strong immunity, that's the only thing that could fight any pathogenic bacteria or any parasites.
Yeah.
I believe that chemicals cannot fight parasites. Chemicals can only kill us or make us our immune system weaker. So I believe that we have to nourish our body to have strong immunity, and then we shouldn't be afraid of anything that could be dangerous, parasites. Then we don't have to clean it with chemicals.
Yeah.
And actually, in my new book, I'm trying to argue for we should reduce our production and use of chemicals by any means if we want to even slow down the malnourishment that we have today in us, in our children. Because we use so many chemicals and every day the chemical production increases, as a result of it, non-direct result of it, we become malnourished. And our children are malnourished to such a degree that many children have poor vision. Many children have to wear braces because their jaws are too narrow and they absolutely have to take out their wisdom teeth because the jaw is so narrow that it doesn't have enough space for all the teeth. And the ears become what's called cupped ears, a small curved ears. Like older people, if you be attentive, you'll see that older people have larger ears with larger earlobes. And then the flat noses and dimmed nose arch. And so many, many symptoms of severe deficiencies, multiple deficiencies in us and in our children progressively, the only way to stop is actually to rebuild ourselves, and that could only be done by reducing chemicals. And so we have to learn how to live without chemicals or with minimum of chemicals.
Right. That's definitely a good point, Victoria. Do you have the energy to answer a few more questions?
I have plenty of energy.
Great. Yes, you've been fasting and doing green smoothies. One question came up from a woman who has a 15-year-old daughter who took her for the doctor for a soccer physical, and she told him that she doesn't drink any milk, and what she does is have green smoothies with kale and spinach and flax seeds and all this other great stuff in it. And the doctor said, oh, then she needs to take a calcium supplement.
Yeah, I was reading today the research about calcium, coincidentally, and this research says that until now there was not even one single case of calcium deficiency in anybody. Rather, the osteoporosis is caused by deficiency in exercise and vitamin D. And vitamin D comes from the sunshine and cannot be substituted by any fish or fish oil or by any suntan salons, tanning. It has to come from the sun. Doesn't matter where you live, you have to absorb sunshine. And that will eliminate any problem with calcium. Also, there is plenty of calcium in greens. You can see the tables, the charts of how many minerals in each. Greens have more calcium than anywhere else. Where does the cow get her calcium?
Mm-hmm.
From greens. Mm-hmm. So, yes, I'm not a medical doctor and I cannot give a medical advice, but my children did not consume any milk since they were 8 and 9, and they have very strong bones.
Great.
When Sergei broke his clavicle, actually twice, it grew back so quickly, like within 1.5 weeks he was already using his hand to put his shirt on, and within 3 weeks he was on a trampoline.
Great. So strong bones.
Yeah.
Great. That's great. That's
and
what we
when my daughter got
feel.
Was in a car accident and she broke her wrist, she had an appointment to put her cast. By the time she came to put cast, her bone was already grown back.
How long was that?
Like 4 days, five
four
days.
4 days?
Yeah, and they said you don't need a cast. They just put a small brace on her hand. That's all, on her wrist.
That's phenomenal.
Yeah.
That is phenomenal. So we have a few questions that are not specifically related to greens, but that are more related to a raw diet. So
sure.
One was, we had a couple of them about children. So how do you start a raw diet with children ages 2 to 8? I know that the way you started it may not be one that will go over as well with the general population, that cold turkey, but do you have any suggestions?
I think the children are supposed to be breastfed for several years. For example, when I was in Bahamas, I met some children that were 4 and 5, and they were still breastfed partially. And I think that if, well, I don't know if children could, I've noticed that when children are placed on a just vegan diet, that they could be small and not thriving. And I think that if you cannot breastfeed your child, maybe you can substitute it with goat milk or even better, goat yogurt. It has to be raw. If it's cooked, it's absolutely poisonous. Mm-hmm. It turns into toxin. It has to be raw. But rather than that, just a small amount of it, maybe, I don't know, half a cup every other day, that's very, very small. Rather than that, the child could be primarily vegan and with emphasis on greens. The children love green smoothies. When they don't have deficiency in their digestive tract, usually children respond very well to the taste of smoothie. I know my own grandson loves green smoothies. He demands them every day. And even though he eats typical, my oldest son, Stefan, who never went on raw food, he eats a typical standard American diet. His son is drinking one cup of green smoothie every day. He's now 3 years old. The doctor says he's the healthiest boy in his district.
Wow.
Just by drinking
green
smoothie.
That's with a standard American diet with the addition of green smoothie.
Yes. They take him to McDonald's and they buy him ice cream and a cake for chocolate cake for birthday, all of these things. But he drinks, that's what we came to. I said, well, you don't change anything, but just drink one cup of green smoothie, because I understand that they are not in a position to change their diet right now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I wish they did, but they wouldn't.
Right.
So that's kind of a compromising decision we made.
Wow. So any other thoughts on getting kids to do more raw foods besides...
No pressure, no pushing, no saying, well, if you don't eat this, you eat that, because it fires backwards. Being a good example yourself and explain to your children, talk to your children. Don't talk to them as if they are smaller or not less important than adults. Talk to them as if you talk to your best friend, mm-hmm. to your neighbors, and explain to them everything so that they would... even suggest, like you say, you know what, I just figured out that all cereal contain 80% sugar. 80% of all commercial cereal is sugar. And so that your child is kind of compelled to say, oh, wow, maybe we shouldn't eat sugar anymore. Maybe we shouldn't eat cereal anymore. Maybe we should eat something else instead.
Mm-hmm.
Mom, what would you suggest? Or Daddy, what would you like? Talk to them so that they feel kind of attracted to this idea. And don't introduce raw food to your children with wheatgrass juice. Make something really palatable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, buy some best ripe organic mangoes. Make the best tasting, even pink smoothies, like bright colors, if they already don't like green color, or green smoothies, and serve it in a non-clear cup.
Yeah, so they can't tell. Or with the lid, one of the covers with the cups with the lid on it.
Yes.
They just put a straw in it and they can't mm-hmm. see it. Great advice. Now, I seem to recall in reading your Sergey and Valya just wrote a new book, and did they address some of these issues in that new book?
Yes, they did. Valya has the whole chapter called Helping Children Becoming Healthier There, with lots of examples and lots of suggestions.
Great.
And the book is called Fresh.
Fresh.
And
when
it's coming out in March.
March?
Yeah, it's already available on Amazon. It's called Fresh.
Okay. great. Yes, I was privileged enough to be able to read it before it went to press, and I was very impressed. So
Thank you.
Yes, definitely. If you haven't read stuff by Sergey or Valya yet, that you're in for a treat. So let's see. Any advice on transitioning from to a raw, almost exclusively or primarily raw diet from a standard American diet in terms
yes.
of, you know?
Yes. When our bodies are malnourished, and we are malnourished, there are definitely the symptoms of malnourishment in many, like, for example, depression and tiredness or problem to sleep or lack of drive, lack of focus. They're all symptoms of deficiencies or any kind of indigestion. And when our body is malnourished, the body responds with two main reactions. Number one, it gains weight, or it holds on to the fat because the body is confused and it's thinking that there is a starvation time out there for long times. And the second is the body comes up with this annoying appetite, a strong appetite. Not only appetite, it's urge to eat. It's our power and urge to eat. So when you just abruptly go on a 100% raw food diet, you will feel strong urge to eat because your body is deficient. And it will be hard for you to work. It will be hard for you to concentrate on whatever you're doing. You'll be constantly thinking of food. For this reason, I suggest that you first go on a green smoothie cleanse or just add green smoothies to your existing diet. Take green smoothies for breakfast. Breakfast, don't ever skip breakfast. Take it for breakfast because breakfast is the most completely absorbed meal because our digestive tract works from 6 a.m. to 12 noon the most, and then from 12 noon it begins to slow down. And after 6 p.m., it stops working altogether. So take 1 quart of green smoothie for breakfast and then eat the rest of the day, whatever you eat. And you will notice then within a maximum of 2 months, you'll begin to feel less cravings for unhealthy foods, less cravings for fast food or junk food or white bread or potato or something like meats or candy or coffee or wine, even cigarettes. You will notice that you have less cravings for stimulating substances. That will be a good time for you to switch to all raw food. I believe that some people have an ability to stay on 80 or 90% raw and rest cooked and not slide back. Those who are, I call them normal eaters, but unfortunately more than 99% of us are compulsive eaters. And so for compulsive eaters, I think the only way is to go 100%. Because compulsive eaters are those who continue to eat after the stomach is full or eat when they're not hungry but when the food is free or their favorite food served. But normal eaters would stop eating as soon as the body is satisfied, not when the stomach is full.
Mm. So assuming, say, somebody is a compulsive eater, and they don't want to quite go to 100%, and they include, you know, some small amount of steamed kale and broccoli and other kinds of vegetables. Do you think that triggers the same compulsion as if they were, you know,
It will be less. They will be it's okay. You can do whatever you want. People could go 50% or 60% or 70%, whatever they choose. But the more percentage of cooked food, the more often they will be sliding off into cooked foods and not feeling the superb. And also they will be craving worse food, less nutritious and more toxic.
Okay.
The more percentage of raw food in the diet, the more you will be feeling better, have more energy, and you will be craving less toxic foods, less. Like, for example, if you eat 90% raw, you probably the most of cooked food cravings would be like green soup, or like steamed vegetables, something like that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there are worse things than craving steamed vegetables, I guess.
Yes, yes. And as I say, like, for example, my older son, he is not going to go raw. So they just included 1 cup of green smoothie, not even
mm-hmm.
a quart. And their smoothie in the beginning was rather yellow smoothie because they couldn't tolerate any greens first in it. It was just like 1 leaf or 2 leaves of greens
yeah.
in their smoothie. Even though they did lose some weight, they improved their health, and they stopped drinking coffee as a result, every day progressing slowly but surely.
Great. So a question comes up about how do you make the raw foods more warming in the winter without adding lots of spices and peppers?
Mm-hmm. Not being able to feel warm in the winter, I consider this as to be a, well, again, I'm not a medical doctor, but I, according to my research, I think that it's a symptom of a lack in some essential amino acids, because if we don't have enough amino acids, our hormonal glands, they begin to react. And when we don't have enough thyroidine, which is a hormone, we cannot tolerate either heat or cold very well. And as you begin to drink green smoothies, you nourish your system, you replenish your hormonal system. You feel it takes about a year to nourish your body to such a degree that your body is so well nourished that your hormonal system works better. But you will begin to feel improvements within 2 weeks. But it takes about a year to completely feel not cold in the winter time. You will notice that you could stay in a T-shirt almost around the year without any feeling cold at all.
Mm-hmm.
And could also be some specific deficiencies, like, for example, some people with some nutrient like zinc and selenium deficiencies and iron deficiencies, they could feel cold feet or cold fingers sometimes in a warm temperature just because of deficiency. Again, we need to nourish the body because most people don't feel cold.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, most, I don't know. Maybe most people around me don't feel cold.
Yeah, well, I think there's two issues. One is feeling cold when it's really not that cold, but the other issue is it's a cold day, you've just walked in, and it's cold outside, and that urge to drink something warm, or to eat something warm, and on days like that when the cold...
Well, just to add more ginger... to stimulate moving circulation of the blood or do 20 push-ups or put extra sweater.
Yeah, what do you think about warming, like making green soups and just warming them up using the Vitamix and running it a little
bit? Yeah, you can do that. You can do that. But actually the one cup of soup is not going to really warm yourself up. You have to take a bath of warm soup in order to warm your body. So maybe taking a bath would be warming, more warming than to take a cup of warm soup.
Yeah. Okay. So the other question that came from that same person was she tends to be underweight. I know who this is. Tends to be underweight and feels like more carbs that sustain her. When she does all raw, she just can't keep up her energy level. And she's tried to eat more raw squash, but it's really hard to digest. So do you have any suggestions?
Yeah, why did you pick, I read this question, why did you pick up hard squash? I am not very attracted to that. I would eat more fruit maybe, and maybe avocados and something that has natural fats like coconut. I've noticed that my children consume more seeds and nuts in the winter, specifically seeds, like sunflower seeds. And pumpkin seeds, and they also increase the consumption of coconuts. They buy them in the wintertime by the case, and they make a very delicious smoothie with it. They just take water of a coconut, and I'm talking about Thai coconuts, not the mature
right.
coconuts, the one in the white shell. So, and then they take this gel from the inside coconut, and then they blend it together and either add a little bit of agave nectar to it or... maybe a little bit of honey, and just blend it and drink it, and sometimes cinnamon. And it tastes like eggnog. Mm. It's so delicious. And it is very dense, and it keeps you longer kind of fed.
Great. So sustaining it longer.
Mm-hmm.
I have
more sustaining, yeah.
Yeah, comes out of that is a lot of people are concerned about eating too much fruit because they have yeast or candida issues. Can you address
mm-hmm.
that a little bit?
Well, in this issue, I did a lot of research, and I have lots of friends who did have candida, and I agree with Doug Graham, Rosalind Gruben, and Tonya Zavasta and other researchers that the problems with candida are caused not by sugar but by the fat. because when our body cannot absorb fat due to deficiencies, then the fat covers the molecule of sugar with a film and makes it impossible for insulin to reach the sugar, and the body continues to demand insulin while the sugar is still there undigested. And so that creates a problem. And so candida actually comes as a savior to consume this extra sugar. And anybody who had problem with candida, doesn't matter how chronic, how horrible the stage is, as soon as they eliminate all the fat from the diet for a few days, the candida goes away, goes down, just like dramatically. Even the woman who, my friend Elizabeth, who's been hospitalized for candida, and she had it chronically for years, as soon as she gave up fat, in 5 days, she didn't have no symptoms of candida.
Wow.
Yeah, so I do believe that it has to do with the fat, but you need to understand that it means no fat at all, not even sunflower seed, not even a cracker, not even avocado, not even olive, no coconut, just no fat, like for several days. It's very hard to do because the body craves fat,
right.
But that's the only way to control the candida.
And
when people control it with antibiotics, it doesn't work. It works for a short while, and then it becomes worse.
So when you say no fat, you mean just for a period of a week or so to
For a period of time. And then when you reintroduce this fat to your diet, you have to introduce it in small, very small increments, and you watch how much your body could tolerate without getting worse. Sometimes it would be a sliver of avocado a day. It could be like, I don't know, 5 olives. And then you just slowly increase, and then you have to nourish your body.
Mm-hmm.
Because the problem is malnourishment and deficiencies, and the body is unable to process fat properly.
Mm-hmm. That's great information for us who've just finished up this green smoothie cleanse, because people asked, one of the things we did was we avoided all fat for this week. So anybody who's, a lot of people have noticed lots of improvements in various health conditions, and so that would get back to, in terms of it reintroducing foods this week.
So maybe somebody who already had symptoms of candida and did the green smoothie fast, maybe they already noticed that.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that. So,
oh, see?
So those people who are out there, just remember Victoria's advice is that reintroduce the fat very, very slowly.
Mm-hmm.
So that's great advice, Victoria. We had another question about: are there any fruit seeds that should not be eaten in the blender drinks?
Well, there are more than 300 fruits in the world. I might not know all of them. There are only 23 fruit varieties available in supermarkets.
Yeah.
Well, you have to just kind of look at it. Like I, for example, would not put lemon seeds, not because they're not nutritious, but because they're just bitter.
They're bitter. Yeah.
Yeah. When we're talking about apples and pears, I put them entirely in the blender.
Okay.
And I even learned to make smoothie with the avocado peat.
Wow.
And the recipe will be in my new book. And some people crave it. It has some very good amount of soluble fiber. That, for example, my daughter craved it. It's very, very distinctive flavor, and people could crave it. And okay, seeds. Many fruits have seeds like raspberries and strawberries that you cannot possibly take out.
Right.
And that kind of gives me an idea that we're not supposed to take them out.
Supposed to take them out.
And I wouldn't put mango seed in the smoothie because it will ruin the blender.
But avocado seed won't ruin the blender? It seems pretty
well,
hard.
Well, it's bitter, and you don't want a lot of it. You cannot eat possibly all the peats of avocados, but maybe once a month you can consume one peat. Because it has very distinctive flavor that you get fed with it very quickly.
And the Vitamix can handle that, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Easily.
Okay.
It's easily.
Oh,
yeah.
Wow.
It's really soft.
That's good to know. That's very
you
good.
Can try. It's very soft.
I think we covered most of the food questions. There were a few that were more health questions, and I think you probably saw them. I'm not sure if those are one.
Yeah, well, I don't really want to answer health questions because I'm not supposed to.
Right.
And I think from this information that I shared today, most people who had health questions could kind of have an idea of what to do.
Exactly, exactly.
I've met so many people who had prostate problems, and then they adopted green smoothies, and the problem was under control. mm-hmm. or gone completely.
That's great. And broccoli sprouts have really good effect on PSA levels and prostate problems. So that's something to include as well. You can put those in your smoothies.
Mm-hmm.
So one last question was about pH. Do you have any experience with pH? And
I believe that urine testing is pretty accurate. I just use litmus paper that has this yellow, green, or purple.
Right.
And I consider both yellow and purple to be bad. And the purple is not too alkaline, but it means even more acid than yellow.
Yes.
If you know what I'm talking
about. Yes, I do. Yes, that's exactly what
I'm talking about. But why it is purple is because the body is so alarmed with being so acidic that it throws some of the, it pulls some of the calcium from the bones and throws it in the urine, making it kind of on the alkaline side. So I do think that litmus paper is very educative. If you take it at home and practice, you'll see how your body reacts to consuming acidic food. Sometimes you will be eating perfectly, and you'll just eat a handful of nuts, and instantly your urine tests acid.
Mm.
And if you eat any cooked food, you'll see that it just permanently stays acid, just yellow as you can be. It can be, and it just takes several days to get it back to the green color. And only when you eat perfectly, your urine doesn't lie. It shows what's going on in the body.
Great answer. Thank you so much.
I thought we might have time to answer some questions, but we had so many that were written in advance that we won't have time to open it up for questions because we're just at the end of our time. But I just want to thank you so, so much, Victoria, for just such an enlightening talk.
Rita Marie, thank you so much for having me. I'm very honored. Whenever I have time, I would love to do it again.
Great. Well, we will take you up on that one because we would love to have you back. And what I'd like to do is unmute the line and just let everybody just express their thanks to Victoria for taking the time.
And not only thanks, if there are any challenging questions or any comments, I'm open to it.
Okay, if you're open to a few more minutes. And before I do open the line up, what I would like you to do is just tell us about the book that you're writing, just, you know, if you can do a little Cliff Notes version of that, and when you think you'll be done and when we'll be able to get our hands on it.
This book has been due long ago. The deadline already passed almost a year ago, and I hope that it will be done by the end of this month or next month. It will be on my website as soon as I have it.
And would you tell everybody what your website is?
Rawfamily.com. Not the Raw Family, but just rawfamily.com.
I did
not rawfood.com, Raw Family.
Rawfamily.com.
Because we are family.
And I would highly recommend that you take a look at, if you haven't already read Green for Life or watched the Greens Can Save Your Life DVD, it's amazing. It's just very enlightening, inspiring, informative. And
can I say something? If anybody likes either DVD or book, please feel free to write a comment on Amazon. That will help other people to buy this book, to choose to buy this book. I will really appreciate that.
Great idea. We'd be happy to do that for you.
Thank you.
And the other book I really, really love is the new version of The 12 Steps to Raw.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely rewritten from the original version. It's probably twice the size, would you say, Victoria?
Maybe three times the size.
Three times the size of the original.
And it's 80% different information.
It's so much different, so much more evolved, and it has a lot of the green smoothie and the green research information in it, as well as steps for transitioning, the whole issue of the addictions and how to handle those. It's a fantastic book. I highly recommend it. I have stacks of them on my shelf that I sell all the time. So I would highly recommend that you look into getting that book.
Thank you.
Anyway, I'm going to open it up. If there's anybody that has a really pressing question, hit 5-star on your phone pad, and I will see your hand raised, and we'll be able to handle that right up front. That way we don't have everybody talking over each other. Great. Or a comment. Okay, so we have... somebody whose number is, I'm going to unmute you, number is 972-378-7965.
Oh, is that me?
That's you, I guess.
Hi there. Hi, Victoria.
Hello.
Hi, I'm a big fan, and I just want to say that I haven't read your books. I just heard I heard you for the first time. I'm new to the rock community. I heard you for the first time when Kevin did the Roth Summit, I think in September. Mm-hmm. So here's my situation. I'm the one that asked the question about children. And my question is this. You didn't mention anything about the sea greens. Would those be recommended, like the spirulinas, the chlorella, the blue-green algae? Would those be beneficial when you talk about the greens?
I think they are secondary to the greens that grow on the surface of the earth.
Okay.
I would say this. The number one most important greens are the ones that grow on the surface of the planet. The number two would be the sea vegetables like kelp and dulse and things like this. And the third will be like algae, spirulina, because they are a little bit different than just greens.
Okay.
The chlorophyll even different there. But they are, many people say that they are beneficial.
Mm-hmm.
My son Sergey likes spirulina. But I also heard that they contain B12 analog that is toxic.
Mm-hmm.
So I wouldn't be very, very brave with the supplements because they are concentrated amounts. But of course it's better than French fries.
Of course. Okay, and my next question is that I read somewhere that if you eat a lot of greens fresh, you don't necessarily need to drink a lot of water because by cooking your raw your greens, you're actually depleting all the water in them.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're on a Greek diet, how much water are you actually drinking, or what do you think about the water intake?
Well, I don't think that people who don't consume table salt and who don't eat cooked food that they need to drink 8 glasses of water. I don't think so, except if they live in Colorado or Texas, maybe.
Mm-hmm.
But I personally consume so much water with my smoothies that I don't rarely drink water next to it.
That's what I thought. Okay. Okay, and one more question. Being in the so many people take, if you're eating a well-balanced diet, a lot of people also take lots of supplements. In your family, do you feel like you need those extra supplements because you're not able to consume all that food within a day? I mean, what's your take on the supplements and all those extras?
I think that there is a place for supplements, but in my family we do not take any supplements. But I do buy supplements for my brother, who is a truck driver and not on raw food diet, and I hope that they help him somewhat.
Sure.
I don't know for sure, but I do buy him vitamineral greens, and he says that he takes them on his trips.
Okay, so one more question, and I promise I'll let you go. Okay, so if you're not doing supplements and you're doing all natural fruits and veggies and greens, and you're not doing any animal products or milks or things like that, do you do any type of like probiotics, or
no,
do you
I don't.
Feel the food's enough?
No, I don't.
Okay. 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 Wonderful. Thank you very much. I really appreciate it, and I can't wait to read your new book.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, I'm going to unmute, and we can go ahead and thank Victoria for taking time out of her busy schedule to come and visit with us tonight and offer so much great information.
Thanks
thank
so much,
Victoria.
Victoria.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Wonderful.
It's illuminating.
Thank you. We'll see you in Texas sometime. Thank you.
Yes. Great. I was talking to Sergey about coming out and doing a little talk for us sometime when he gets this way again. So
oh, good.
Hopefully we'll make that happen and we'll let everybody know.
Great.
So
he's doing a wonderful presentation, mostly about wild edibles that I don't even know those.
That would be very, very good. I would love to learn. That's one topic I would like to learn a lot more about. So, Victoria, do you have any parting words, anything you want to say before?
Yes, I do. Hey, everybody, enjoy your greens.
Enjoy your greens. Yes, and enjoy your greens. Thank you so much, everybody, for taking time out of your busy night to come out and hear Victoria. And
thank you, Rita Marie.
Oh, you're welcome. We're going to be doing another green cleanse in March, and you're all on the list, and I will email you when we do another one, and hopefully those of you who were unable to participate this last time and want that support of a group doing it all together, well, you can join us next time. So thanks again, Victoria.
Okay, bye-bye. I'm disconnecting.